I haven't had a chance to listen to Rob's sermon yet, but I've gotten some gist of it as we're speaking about these things and searched the Lord on a few things over the last couple of weeks and months on what do you want, Jesus? What do you want? What do you want? We can make plans as much as we want. We're good at that. Humans are good at making plans. I can make plans to beat the band. But Jesus, what do you want? That's what we're looking for. So after 2 weeks of being on holiday, I thought I got put on no weight. Fantastic. I haven't worn jeans for the last 2.5 weeks. And this morning was that litmus test. I thought I'd gain no weight, but the jeans test. It was the jeans test, right? And I just had a little giggle going, wow, that's what we need as a church. Because we can go along with things and go, we're all as good, we're grand, we're coming Sunday mornings, we're doing the thing. We need a bit of a test. And for whatever reason the Holy Spirit has me for the last week, because during the week I text Rob saying, Rob, I'm on holidays, any chance you could step in, mate? And I knew, I'm going to be honest, I knew it wasn't from the Lord, because I was chanting my arm, really. It was my flesh going, just want to sit in the pool, Lord, you know, and chill and have a few Baileys at night and, oh man, you know, and I text Rob, any chance, and he goes, no, I'm away as well. And I went, all right, that's from Jesus. So Lord, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want to speak about on Sunday? By goodness, did I get a download. Whoa, right. So you're going to hear it this morning, which is really, really cool. So Lord, I ask, as Rob just prayed, Lord, I ask for good hearts. I ask your heart to prepare it. I also ask that the enemy, our enemy, is cut off. Any lies that the enemy tries to spill in as I preach the word of God is cut off in Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah. Amen? All right, good stuff, good stuff. Mal, can you put up the first slide? Again, with this sermon, I'm just going to say to you, there's no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. And again, I should have given binoculars, so apologies. I just want to assess. Jesus did a bit of a number on me during the week. He said, where are we in the story of things? Right? If you as a Christian, you know there's a beginning, a middle and an end to this story. And the end is pretty glorious. It's pretty spectacular, actually. Right? Jesus returns. It's spectacular. He's come to ransom the world. He's going to come back to take his bride home. So either you go first or he comes back to get you. Right? It's pretty spectacular. We have a hope that's pretty cool. But I just want to assess where we are. The first question is, when I look at the world, is the world getting increasingly unstable or increasingly stable? What do you think? By the way, your heart, I want to check your heart. Your heart is not to go to, oh, it's getting really unstable, and oh my God, I've no hope. Right? Jesus said in Matthew, you will see crazy things happening, but do not panic. Don't panic, because the time is there. I'm coming back. Right? Society seems to be embracing genuine goodness and holiness. What do you think about society today? Is it really seeking genuine holiness and goodness and wholesomeness? I've a thing for society now. Anything goes except Jesus. Anything goes except Jesus. Staying close to God requires less effort. It's easy to stay close. Distraction isn't there, you know. Life isn't chaotic. It's easy to stay connected with God. What do you think? It's tougher, isn't it? Yeah. Right, it is. You know, distraction all over the place, problems, issues, world problems in your face. You know, you just look at your phone, you're connected. You are in. You're connected to the biggest problems in the world. And any semblance of getting to Scripture, spending time with the Lord is gone. One of your biggest litmus tests, your genes test, is, and there's no condemnation here. This is the grace of God. How often have you been able to stay in Scripture? To just go to the Scripture and go, Jesus, I want to be fed. I need to be fed. That's a really good litmus test, because it's my litmus test. Because I know when a few days go of not being in Scripture, oh, I feel it. I feel malnourished. I feel something's not right. My equilibrium is off. My genes are getting bigger. I feel not. It's not good. And we have an enemy that wants you stayed away from the true path that you're meant to walk. The full identity you're meant to walk into. You have an enemy. He wants to keep you away. And if he can distract you as much as possible, that's what he wants to do. And if he doesn't, there's a reason why Jesus said so many times to stay on your guard. Be on your guard for the times you live in, etc. Now, some people get really uncomfortable when preachers or teachers, whatever, talk about end times. I have no issue with it. I don't know whether Jesus is coming back tomorrow or 100 years, but I'm going to live like he's coming back tomorrow. I'm going to try and live as if he's coming back tomorrow, because that sharpens my focus. For some reason, that does something to me spiritually. It sharpens my binoculars into focus to go, no, there's a story happening here, and the story ends with Jesus coming back. And that brings us into sharp focus, into, okay, where are you now in that story? Where are you now in that story? If your heart just took a flutter about those questions, because and the Spirit has brought to mind, wow, the world is pretty chaotic, it's pretty messed up, right? It's a pretty weird place at the moment, right? Imagine what it's like for those who don't have Jesus. We have the life raft. We have, oh Jesus, oh, I'm here. Oh, I need you. We have Scripture. We have relationship with him. We have that life raft. We have that semblance. We have the Holy Spirit living in us to go, oh Holy Spirit, come. Imagine what it's like for those without Jesus. Bereft. Where are they going for life? And trust me, in a vacuum, people go somewhere for life. Lust, sex, drugs, you name it, you're going to try and find life somewhere. For us, as believers and walkers, disciples of Jesus, we get to go, oh, flood me, Holy Spirit. You're my search for life. You were made for this hour. You were made for a time like this. We speak that easily over our kids. We speak that, no, we pray this over Hannah. And in kids, we go, no, the kids were made for a time like this. And we believe that. But what about you? You were made for a time like this. And everything around you in the world is made to take you out of that. Is to take you out of your plan and purpose that God has for you. You were made for this time, and everything around you, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the world was made, is made, hell-bent on taking you out of that story. Now let's face a few facts here. Jesus and his mission in Isaiah 61. Mal, can you flash up Isaiah 61 for me, please? Very simple mission. I think I have it. I hope I have it. Yeah. So let me read Isaiah 61 out to you. Very simple. Jesus did his mic drop moment in the synagogue, right? One of the first times he preached, probably the first time he preached in the synagogue, and he stands up and he says, hold on, I'll just get it now. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He's still at that, folks. That's the game. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's what Jesus is up to. He also goes on then. In Isaiah it goes on. And I just thought this really hit my heart this morning. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor has come. And with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Let's say, folks, that the time we live in is pretty close to end, right? Let's say we could be imminent and Jesus is going to return. And even now, I can sense it in the room, you're like, nah, no way. But just go with me on this. Because Jesus said, no one knows the time or day, but be on your guard. What if we were to live like he's coming back tomorrow? And then what is your role in the kingdom? What is your role? Now, if you're sitting here going, I don't have a role and I don't know, can I just tell you, the scripture is clear that you are a part. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians is clear. You are part of the body. You are a part. If you are taken out, the body can't function fully without you. Now, I don't know why Jesus and and the Father, Son, Spirit did this, right? Imagine, you know, he's put his message in us and he gives us the mission. What? Are you mad? Because I'm fickle, Lord. I'm fickle. You tell me to do something, I sometimes go, no. I'm fickle. I'm a broken man. But this is the way that Jesus wants to spread his kingdom, through broken people who have been redeemed and ransomed and healed. Pretty awesome. I wouldn't have done it that way. But you have a part to play. So what is your role in the kingdom? Have you ever asked Jesus that? Because I'm telling you now, you have a role. He didn't redeem you for nothing. He redeemed you to carry a very beautiful message. You are the image bearers of God. This is what it says in Genesis. It's pretty clear, 1:27. God gave his image. He put his image on us. And that's what Jesus came to redeem back on the cross. To redeem the image that has been placed on you, that the enemy has stolen your identity. But yet here we are on the other side of the resurrection and the victory of Jesus in that reclaimed identity. But let's be honest, folks. What does a church look like, or meant to look like, in a time like this? A dark, dangerous time. What are the followers, the apprentices of Jesus, what are they to look like? And dare I say, is it just a Sunday morning thing? Is that what Jesus died for on the cross? And this is not condemnation. This is not, this is just us going, me, Jesus doing a number on me going, okay, I get it. You've given me an unbelievably immense gift. And I can't walk it out myself, Lord. I need your strength. And yeah, you're right. You do need my strength. All I need is your yes. All I need is your yes. Your obedience. So what would a church like look like that lived like Jesus was coming back tomorrow? And at the time was pretty dark. Like we just read out those questions. But we have the answer to that. One of the scariest things that Jesus did to me over the last couple of days was he said, look at Revelation. Look at the book of Revelation. Read to chapter 2 and 3. Now, I'm not sure. I've read chapter 2 and 3, the letters to the church. I've read them and I've sat in two dimensions going, the old Laodiceans got a kick in the face there, didn't they? I'm going to spit you out. This is Jesus talking. You're mild and meek, Jesus. This is Jesus saying, I'm going to spit you out. You're neither lukewarm or you're neither hot or cold. You're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out. Why is he angry? And I want to say the other things he says to the churches. And for some reason, he pulled me in and went, which church are you? Oh, I was like, serious, Jesus? I want to be the Philadelphia one. So he didn't have an issue, really big issue with them. I'm from Philadelphia. But the beauty about that, you can do that litmus test with yourself. Where is your heart at? Which letter would Jesus be reading to your heart? Now, also, we can do it as leaders and us as a communal church to go, where are we at? Which church are we? Which letter would be read out to us? Because this is serious. What's at stake is serious. And we have a role to play in it. He's calling to account because he's like, you have forgotten. He said to one of you, you've forgotten your first love. You've forgotten what happened on Calvary. You've forgotten the heavy price that was paid for you. And this is not works, right? This is us realizing that we are God's first, we are God's love. He loves us so much. And we can do nothing else, nothing. We can do nothing to gain that love or to lose it. But it's from the overflow of that. And that's what we've forgotten. Pretty heavy reading in Revelation 2 and 3. I challenge you to read it and go, where's my heart at? And like me, you'll probably go, I'd like to be where the Philadelphians are. But it's heavy reading. This is Jesus. This is our Jesus calling out to the church. And we would be naive and arrogant. I say that to me. Arrogant to read that anymore to go, that's not to us. It will be, and I've read that going, just the lads in Sardis, what muppets. The arrogance of that. We have to read that to us as an individual and as a community. So, there's a great statement. I don't know who said it, but and it's I've heard it more and more now that we have, in our religion and in our working out of Christianity, we have declawed the line of Judah. We've sung about it today. And you know the wispy, beautiful photographs or paintings of Jesus. Lovely hair, like something out of a Timothée ad, literally. Like lovely hair, no scars, no nothing, looking in the distance. And you're like, really? This guy was a warrior. This guy was a warrior. He went to for the joy set before him, clawed his way up to Calvary and called out your name in his, called out you, salvation, it's finished. Salvation. And that's why he's like, don't forget this stuff. Don't forget what I did. So, in declawing Jesus, the church has become declawed. We've become whatever you want to put a word on it. We've become loose. We've become missionless. In places, not everywhere. Not, this is not a condemnation. But I'm saying to my own heart, by the way. This is me to my own heart. Also, there's a lie in the church. In scripture, it talks about the fivefold ministry, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And I honestly think there's a lie in the church saying, oh, evangelism or talking about scripture or talking about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is for people who are evangelists. Oh, he's an evangelist. She's an evangelist. Brilliant. That's not me. It's not biblical. It's not true. That statement in the epistles is talking about a person's role to activate and teach the body about evangelism. It's somebody to bring on the troops in that mission. And I've fallen for that lie. I've absolutely fallen for that lie, going, evangelism is not my thing. No, that's not my gifting. That is. Now, can you just now look at that and go, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's absolutely a lie from the pit of hell. I have, like, honestly, the way I've worked that out is I've not shared the gospel with people who I know need the gospel. And I've gone, oh, that's not my gig. It's not my thing. It's a lie. It's a lie. Absolute lie. So what is God up to and how is he doing it? Mal, can you put up Matthew 28? Rob, I'd say you probably used this last week as well. This is how God goes about it. He has just conquered death. Right? He has just conquered death. The keys of Hades swinging around. He is he is in buoyant humor, right? He is given all. Colossians says all authority, dominion has been given to him. In Ephesians it says it as well. He is won. He's made a mockery of our enemies, right? And this is what he does. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So you're not on your own. I'm with you. Go. Simple. Just go. I'll do the rest. Acts is pretty clear. Just go and do. Listen to my spirit. Listen to me. Go. Go. All the great big massive plans. Just go. Let's look at Luke 10. A fascinating piece of scripture. Luke 10. Thanks, man. Legend. The Lord now chose 72. So the beauty about this scripture is that it's not just the disciples' role, right? It's not just the 12. He picked others. Right? It's everyone's gig. Everyone can get in on this. Pick 72. Other disciples, other followers, apprentices, right? And sent them ahead in pairs to all towns and places he planned to visit. Oh, when I read that, I said, pressure off. This is amazing. What we've got to do is go and prepare. Bring Jesus. Prepare for Jesus. This is what, look at that. And prepare. Go ahead in pairs to all towns and places he planned to visit. So we sent them out ahead. That's our mission. Go ahead. I'll come after. Go. Bring down strongholds. Feed the poor. Bring the good news. Be me. Bring me. Bring me. Bring me. I love this scripture. These are were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. I love it. We are to go to prepare the ground for Jesus to come. That's it. Pretty awesome invitation, right? You don't have to make it up. You don't have to conjure up a plan. Just go, Jesus, where do you want me to go? Go here. And this is what we believe as a church. Jesus is saying, through dreams and through prophetic words, the whole shebang, guys, we've gotten it. Go here. And we're just like, what do we do? Prepare the ground. We're preparing via worship and prayer. And we go, Jesus, what else do you want now? That's what we're doing. Following the biblical principles, what Jesus said. So this, there's a part in Acts 18:10. I haven't put it up. And Paul is really, he's really despondent. He's really like, I'm out of here now. I just want to go. I'm like, I'm sick of these people. I'm pretty sure it was Carl. He's like, I'm out. Good luck. Bye. It was Acts 18:10. And this is what Jesus says to him. He says, stay. Preach the good news. Because many of those people belong to me. Now, that was like Jesus saying, they belong to me. I need you there to go be my fisherman. And I really felt that hit me during the week. As a church in our communities, this is exactly what we are to do. Stay in your community and go. Preach the good news. Because there's many hearts that belong to me. Now what a prayer. Imagine we prayed, Lord, give us the hearts that you have set aside for yourself and Brian. We are with you in this mission. Give us the hearts, Lord. If it's one, give us them. Yes. If it's 10, we want them. Yes. If it's 1,000, we want them. Yes. Imagine that was our prayer. And like Paul, we're like, Sunday will do. You know, there's escapism or there's comfort. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Comfort is bad. Comfort is not a good thing. Can I just tell you that you are part of this? You are not a bystander. You can't be a bystander. And this is where I need to test you. What do you believe? And what you believe doesn't matter. What do you believe? Mal, can you just put up, I think I have a quote there from Dallas Willard. This one hit me like a brick. I'm not going to lie to you. Actions prove beliefs 100% of the time. And it's true. Do I believe that what I have in me, the world needs? I'm going to be honest. Not by my actions. You wouldn't think that. Not by my actions. And that led me to think and go, Lord, if I have in me the risen glory, right? Because that's what it says in Scripture. You have in you the glory, the same risen, like the same glory that rose Jesus from the dead. It says in Ephesians that Jesus dwells in your heart. And the Holy Spirit, you now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They're true. Like, okay. I have to say, yeah, Lord, they're true. I don't understand it fully, but yeah, okay, they're true. And do I really, really believe that what's in me, the world needs? That's a tough one. And if your actions prove beliefs 100% of the time, what are your actions proving? And this is not a whipping up of a works. This is not. This is not works. You can do works to beat the band, but they're like the rags. They're rags to what God has done, right? This is overflow that we're talking about. This is, am I really believing in the identity that God, that Jesus bought for me? Jesus bought on the cross what was lost in the garden. And we, as believers and followers of God, are to have fierce mastery over this world. The enemy's defeated. They're in retreat. But God has chosen us to claim back the world, to bring the good news and to bring the kingdom of heaven. I wouldn't have done it that way. Using us, but you know something, in his absolute brilliance, he's using our brokenness to bring healing to others. Imagine. And I love this, I love it, because in my healing, I can now talk to somebody when somebody says, I have a real issue with this. I can go, I was healed from that. I can, let me talk to you about Jesus, because he's real and he's living. But my challenge, I'm going to go back to you, and I want to sit in this place for a moment. What do you believe? Do you believe what you're walking out is what the world needs? And then, if you don't, I'll challenge you. What do you believe then? Can I ask you to sit with Jesus and say, Jesus? And he can hack it. He can hack it and say, Jesus, do I know? I want to know the real you. Have I got the Holy? I want the Holy Spirit, Jesus. I want a new change. I want to be born into the kingdom. So, why do we do this? And this is as a church where we believe that we're going to, that Jesus has given us a mission for Bright. That we're not just for Sunday mornings. That he has given us authority, an invitation. Does he need us? No, right? You can, in a moment, turn up to somebody and say, I'm here. Right, you can do it. He's doing it in other countries, etc. But he has asked us, you, to be his hands and feet, to go, because there are many hearts that belong to him and Bray. And you want to be a part of that. That's literally, he's not going to force you. He's not going to lose salvation, but he's not going to force you. But he's asking you to be the person that he had sent to you for your salvation. Because you all, I do, I guarantee all of you have a person who rocked up and obeyed Jesus and went, can I tell you about Jesus? It was my sister. It was my sister who told me about Jesus. She was the one that believed that what I needed was him. What she had in her, I needed. And by God, I needed it. Just think of that. What if they disobeyed? Now, I think God would still find a way. But what if they disobeyed and I languished in not being saved and not knowing Jesus for years until somebody else obeyed? What would happen? This is real, folks. This is real. This is serious. Yes, it's serious. So what do you believe? Do you believe what is in you the world needs? So, I sat with Jesus during the week and I kind of said to him, look, break it down very simply for me. What do you want? And he said, just bring me. That's it. It's really simple. And then if you want to use a big scripture about it, Revelation says it, your testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you're giving your testimony of what's inside you and what Jesus has done for you, you're releasing prophecy over other people's lives. When my sister said that stuff to me and proclaimed Jeremiah, God has a plan for you. She didn't turn around and go, Bernard, in Jeremiah it says this. She goes, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That spoke prophecy into me. So he's inviting us into that. And this is what we're doing over the next couple of weeks. We want the hearts. Sorry, we want, that sounds... Jesus wants the hearts of those in Bray that belong to him. And as a church, we want to be activated into that. We want to go, yeah, we want that. We want what you want, Jesus. Now, this message is not just for Bray, right? This is a message for whatever God is activating you in your life. Wherever God is activating you in your life, it could be a mission that's on your heart. It could be a ministry that's on your heart that Jesus is saying, step in. Step in. You don't have to work it and figure it all out. Step in. Now, I really pray that the Holy Spirit has done something in your heart to say, I'm in to this mission. And please don't think you're not, right? And don't feel like you haven't felt thunder from heaven to go, well, I haven't really felt it. That's not how it works. It's just scriptural. Do what I've asked you to do, and I'll be with you till the end of the age. So, Mal, can you put up next couple of weeks what's happening? Is there one there, Mal, about... Is there one there that I have, I think? Just to... Mal, do you have my one now? Not that this isn't good, that's great. Just there's one with a few weeks on it, I think. If not, no drama, put the other one up. So next week, we're just going to worship. Like, scripture is pretty clear. It talks about protocols. If you read scripture with that lens, you can see Jesus is full of protocols. Even when he's, you know, certain healing wasn't done without fasting and prayer. There's certain protocols in Scripture that Jesus talks about. And we feel this is one of these things that we've sought the Lord. We've prayed for months on end on Saturday mornings in this building. Just going, Lord, what is it? And trying to mull through the fog of what we've prayed on Friday mornings. How do we navigate this? And we're going to worship. We're going to bring Jesus into a place that's pretty chaotic. Bray is chaotic, folks. The world is chaotic. We're going to bring Jesus. We're going to worship him. We're going to see what he says. Go heal the sick. And I'm really believing people are going to be healed. I'm telling you now. Not because of me. It's because Jesus is going to turn up. We just got to follow the protocol. We just got to give him our yes. So next 6 weeks, we'd love you to join us. Please, ask Jesus. 6 o'clock in Pastor Row every Sunday evening for the next 6 weeks. And then we're going to say, Jesus, what next? What next? So the first 2 weeks, we're going to worship as a church. Then we're going to pray the following week. And then for the next 4 weeks, we're going to invite the community. We're going to do leaflet drops, the whole shebang. And invite the community in. We're going to have a healing. We're going to step out in faith. And one of the nights is going to be a healing service where we're going to seek the Lord for healing. Break down demonic, strongholds. Release God's grace over people. We're going to pray for families. We're going to seek physical healing. We're going to step out in faith. We're going to do what Jesus said. Go. And our ask is, are you in? Yeah, that's it. Alright, let's pray. And then what time is it? We have time for, one of the things in Scripture is pretty clear is that Jesus imparts on us this priesthood, this amazing priesthood. And we're going to pray, we're going to sing the prayer, the blessing. We're going to pray that. What I ask you to do is when you're singing that, sing it over Bray. We bless you. Sing it over your family. Sing it over the people who are not saved yet in your life. Sing it over yourself. And we're going to step into that. So Lord God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to do this alone. That you just say, go. And Lord, I just want to say, catch my heart where I don't feel brave enough. Jesus, I just commit that to you and go, this is sometimes can be a little bit scary, Lord. But Lord, I want to step into the courage that you had and you want to impart on us, that you want to fill our innermost being with love, grace, peace, and courage. And I just give you that place in my heart that goes, I don't know what we're going to do here. And Lord, I want to give you the place in my heart and I want to cut out my flesh that wants to go to comfort. That doesn't want to go to change. That wants to go to, I'm comfortable where I am. Lord God, the world needs you. And I don't want to be a comfort Christian. I don't want to be a comfort Christian. And I know, Lord, I bring the promise that you said that you will be with us to the end of the age. And this is for your glory, Jesus. This is for your glory. And I just feel Jesus saying, if you're looking for your identity, and if you're looking, this is where you're going to find it. You're going to find it on the battlefield. This is where we find, and this is where Gideon found his identity in Jesus, in God, in the Father, Son, and Spirit. This is where Gideon stepped out. He stepped out in faith. He didn't believe what God was calling him, but he stepped out and all of a sudden he was then realizing and relishing in his identity that God called him into. So what are we waiting for?